Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Glad you guys could be with us here. Joining me now at the top of the hour here on our First Advantage Hotline, Chris Dempsey. Chris, my man of Altitude TV. How are you, my friend?
Doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I gotta admit, Chris, I love talking to you anytime, but I saw this news from Woj and I had to reach out to you. What's going on with this Nuggets trade, man?
Well, you know, the Nuggets trade, allegedly.
right.
DeMichael Green to the Oklahoma City Thunder. DeMichael Green and a protected 2027 first-round pick, so they had to give up a first-round pick as well to Oklahoma City for the 30th pick in this year's draft and a couple of future second-round picks. And I think if you're a Nuggets fan, the way you're sorting through this is – you know, the Nuggets, when we talked about going into this offseason, from a reserve standpoint, had way too many players. And so, part of what this is most definitely saying to me is that also is that you're going to get the return of Jamal and MPJ. And so if that starting lineup is Jamal, Will, MPJ, Aaron Gordon, and Nikola Jokic, then that means everybody else who was playing starting and playing significant minutes last year, now they're reserves. And the two Greens, Bones Highland, Monte Morris is back with the reserves. Brent Forbes and Austin Rivers and Boogie Cousins, and that's just way too many bodies. And so I think what you're starting to see here with the Nuggets is carving out some of that stuff. And then with draft picks, you can choose players that probably won't play, but they can be a part of your future. It gives them the latitude to do that, to take a flyer on a player that is going to be, they feel is going to be good later on. But I think that's what we're going to see here. DeMichael Green had a player option, which Woj, I believe, is reporting he's going to exercise. So take that $8.7 million. And so with that, then like I said, the Nuggets get a little bit of space on their roster to do whatever else they need.
Oh, this is, we thought maybe this would happen where the Nuggets would kind of get creative, like you said, clearing up some space, but also creating opportunities for themselves in this year's draft. And Chris, I got to ask you, we got a lot of Rams fans listening here, and we've talked about it, about David Roddy a lot. Does seem like the national projections are leaning anywhere from late round, early second. Well, late first round, early second. Well, number 30, you tie that in to seeing Roddy there last week. It seemed like he and Michael Malone were best friends. All of that going together, and I'm just blowing it up in my mind. How realistic is it that we see CSU star player get drafted by the Denver Nuggets?
Unfortunately, I think if I had to put a percent chance on it, I would say probably less than a 15% chance.
Oh, Chris, you're breaking my heart, man.
I know.
What's going on with that?
I know. It's tough. It really is. We'll see how David Roddy does in some other workouts as those kind of reports come out as well. And I just think for the Nuggets, if he's not quite the kind of player that they're looking for at this juncture, and I think that's really what that stems from for me. I think the Nuggets, I think the Nuggets are looking for the type of player that A, could either help them out defensively on the wing, or B, is kind of a long-term potential play. And I think that David Roddy is a little bit more, I don't think it's a long-term potential play. I think he's a little more ready to play sooner rather than later. And I don't know that he fits into the mold of a player that is like an elite level defender on the wing, which is what he'll need to be. Five. I just think for him, and we talked through a little bit of his what he is as a basketball player, and I just think. At 6'5" and originating from the post, that's a tough sell in the NBA. That's tough to recreate. You would want that player to be out on the perimeter to be able to not just play in space scoring, but play in space defending. And so until he can show that clearly, I think for teams looking for defensive-first kind of players, I don't know that he would be at the top of that list.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting, too. And again, I'm trying to take my fanboy hat off a little bit, Chris, because, you know, Roddy, Nuggets, that marriage would be amazing. But when we make the comparison, we've compared him a lot to, you know, somewhat close to Draymond Green type of guy. But you're right, Draymond Green, when he starts almost as the point guard. He is facilitating at the top of the key, and you know, that's what he has gotten really, really good at. And he doesn't even look at the rim half the time anymore, more than half the time anymore. Mm-hmm. So you would want to see that elevate in Roddy's game, where, as you mentioned, I mean, a lot of the great things that he was doing for CSU, especially over last year, was starting at that post spot, and that would be different, difficult to play if you ever did try to incorporate him in any kind of minute situation with the Joker.
Yeah. You know, it's I would want to see him kind of evolve his game a little bit more toward the perimeter. And now what you are is kind of a tank on the perimeter, a little bit like Marcus Smart is a tank on the perimeter, you know, but be able to operate facing the basket more than having to catch the ball back to basket and then maybe turning and facing and then kind of doing some stuff like that. So, you know, I think for Roddy, and I really want to be clear about this, I think he's a fantastic player. And I think you know that. We've said that a lot of times. I think he's a fantastic player and has had a great career. And I just wonder what position he plays in the NBA. And if that is not on the perimeter, then you're at an immediate disadvantage on the block. And can your size overcome that? I don't know. I mean, those are the questions I think David Roddy has to prove to not just the Nuggets, but to all the decision makers around the league, is that here, this is a spot that I can play. These are things that I can do, and I can do them out there on the perimeter, because he's going to be asked to be able to do that. He's going to be asked to be able to handle the ball a lot more, and with, like you said, a lot more kind of like Draymond Green. Can you initiate offense? Can you create your own shot? Can you create for others? All those things, and that's part of his challenge. You know, once he decided he was not coming back, it's now upon him to prove that he is ready to be able to fit into a perimeter spot, not a post spot, a perimeter spot in this league. And so we'll see if he can do that.
Chris Dempsey joining us now from Altitude TV. Well, that will be interesting with David too, Chris. And I'm being a realist at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at the NBA draft, especially that first round, early second round, you are looking at guys, okay, what's their specialty, right? And and with David, as you mentioned, he's really good at a lot of things. But what is that thing that he's better than anybody else in this upcoming draft? And I guess, unfortunately, the answer is he's not right now. He has a lot of really good attributes, but he's not. Oh, he's an amazing defensive player. He's an amazing he doesn't have those things that a lot of guys you look for in the draft, especially if you're taking him in the first round. You want to say, do they have the potential to have this piece of their game be better than the rest of these guys drafted before or after them?
Yeah, exactly. Or it's like, oh, but he's got a 7'3" wingspan. He's got, you know, like something like athletically freaky about him. And it's not any of those things right now. And so, and that's why for him, I think, you know, what he's got to lean on is skill development and then being able to operate facing the basket more than back to the basket, and then using his rebounding prowess, because he's a really good rebounder, but using that rebounding prowess to as an enhancer to what he is on the basketball court. And then the things that I know, one, the Nuggets always love to bring in local products, so we know that. I mean, they do this over the years and give them a chance to work out and do those things. But also, I know Coach Michael Malone, he talked about this after the second, after the they had one today too, but the one prior to today's, Michael Malone talked about getting guys. It's not everybody who's in there because their stats are so great. It's because they compete, and that's one thing that we know about David Roddy is that guy is a competitor, fights to the finish, is a winner. We know those things, those intangibles are present in his game, and so now what he has to prove is that along with leadership and all the hard work and winning, with those intangibles that's hard to find, and quite honestly, in a lot of players. That now he can marry that with the skills necessary to make him the most effective player that he can be on the basketball court. And so that's what he's got to be able to do. But certainly, from an intangible standpoint, he's elite level. Now the skill level has to become elite level as well.
Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude TV. Okay, so Chris, and I know you can only answer so much of this kind of thing, but just looking at it, okay, you got number 21, number 30. I know there's a handful of guys that are standing out outside of Roddy. I'll take the local thing away. Do you see the Nuggets using both of those picks, or are they putting together something here? I mean, we've talked about the potential of adding more help as far as guys that can go right now, that are in the league right now, that you could package for some kind of trade deal for the Joker, or do you see them kind of staying the course with the current roster, maybe a couple of guys that didn't play as much, maybe your Jermichael Greens, like we just saw, and then using those picks? What do you see? Are they trying to acquire more and more draft picks to put something together?
They could be. And, I think when you own picks 21 and 30, which is what they have right now, if you own picks 21 and 30, could you package those up? Let's just say you think a guy's going to maybe be taken by pick 18. Can you move up to pick 17? Can you offer 21 and 30 to move up to 17 if that team at that space is kind of on that pick and wouldn't mind moving down? And plus you give them 2-for-1 in the first round picks. That's the kind of thing I could see using 21 and 30 for sure. If you feel like that 21st pick is just outside of a window where you would be able to get a player that you might be targeting, but you think that player still is going to be around at 16, 17, 18, 19, can you package those picks, move up the a couple of slots that you need to be able to get the guy that you want? That's about all you can do with picks like that. If you're not trading them along with the player for maybe a future first round pick that may be better than the ones that you're giving up. So, or you draft the players at 21 and 30 and you put them on your roster and you see what you got. I think there's those two possibilities are the ones, and I wouldn't be surprised with that one. If there's a guy that they just look or that he might just be out of their reach, can you now put together some sort of a package with those two picks and maybe another player if need be? Trade it up, trade to move up a few spots, get the guy that you want that can help you on your roster right now. Otherwise, I think you just draft two players that you can see being really good for you maybe 3, 4, 5 years down the road, because I don't think, unless they are moving up in this draft, I don't think that they're going to draft a player that's going to be called upon to play any kind of significant minutes on this team this year. I think the players that are playing the significant minutes, we know who they are. And maybe they might bring back a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, but we know who those the players are by and large. If they add anything, it'll be a veteran, not a rookie, and they'll go with that. So I can see the Nuggets draft going one of those two ways, a small move up or drafted both spaces with players that can, you think, make him, maybe develop for you in the future.
And you've been pretty consistent on this one too, Chris, as far as where you've said, hey, the draft kind of feels like, you know, if the Nuggets are really delving into this thing, this is something for more down the road guys they could see, they could view as project player type guys. Because, again, I sound like a broken record, but assuming the health is good for Denver, you really like the setup of your team and the emergence of Bones Highland. So then you start asking your question, where does a David Roddy, where does a guy like that even find minutes, assuming the health is clear? So you're right, that seems to make more sense, that a project guy would be more of the focal point in this year's draft.
Yeah. I mean, their bench really is, I mean, it's got so many players. I mean, beyond the starting five, you know Monte Morris is playing. You know Bones Highland is playing. You know Jeff Green is playing. You know, you have those three. And then we have to, what are they going to do with Zeke Nnaji? They really like him a whole lot. So that's four. So I'm nine players deep. I haven't even talked about maybe bringing back Austin Rivers, who defensively they really liked. Ended up having some really good moments for him last season. There's players I'm skipping right now, like Bryn Forbes and those guys. But if I can get to nine, and I haven't even mentioned Davon Reed, I think they really want to take a good long look at Davon Reed, and he would be 10. So now I'm 10 players deep, and we haven't even drafted a player yet. And you know who all 10 of those guys are. Like, they've all played and had really good moments for you in helping win real basketball games in the NBA. Then there's no chance that a player drafted at 21 or 30 is going to come in and play a significant role. Like, that player is going to have to take the Marcus Howard route, just to be honest with you. And that's, you know, going to sit and wait and watch and bide your time and practice a whole lot, play with the G League level, and just develop before you can get yourself onto a court for a team. This is not a team it's not like the Orlando Magic where we just gonna throw all the young people out there we can and find out who can play or not. They know who can play. They have aspirations of winning an NBA title, and now everybody who comes in on the roster who's going to actually play is going to have to really impact the bottom line of getting this team to the Western Conference Finals and or the NBA Finals. And so that's why I think if you're a rookie, this might not be the team for you next season, whether you're David Roddy or anybody else.
That's a great point. I mean, again, it's just and we always talk about it with players. A lot of times it just matters, you know, where are you going? What team's going to be able to use you in this way? And if Roddy were to go to Denver, maybe, you know, for better or worse, the minutes just wouldn't be there for him for where this Nuggets team is constructed. Okay, Chris, I heard Josh Kroenke say, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, in his press conference, he mentioned that championship or bust, getting over that hump. Let me ask you this, Chris. I mean, what does bust look like? If assuming all the health is good and Jamal's there, Porter's there, if they don't get at least to the Western Conference Finals, and I'll be realistic here and I won't hold Kroenke to the championship or bust necessarily, if they don't get to the conference finals, does that mean fairly big changes could possibly be coming for Denver as far as coaching staff, player personnel? What does bust look like?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. I'm not sure.
Right, it's tough.
That's a really good question. I'm not sure what that would look like. Michael Malone just got an extension. I guess it doesn't mean he couldn't be let go, but I don't know what bust would look like, because it's not an old team. And it's not a team like the Utah Jazz who just kind of keep getting there and getting there and getting there and getting there and being great in regular season, but always failing in the playoffs. It's like the Nuggets went to the Western Conference Finals and then they got injured. And that's where we are, you know? So maybe there is no bust. I don't, it's just championship or, you know, too bad we didn't get there.
Right. Because,
I don't know what you do at that point.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, because your core players are still so super young.
Right.
So it's not like you can or this system has been around so long and the core has been there and they've been in all these playoff runs over and over and over again, and it's clear that they just don't have what it takes to get there. We actually don't know actually at all what this core of players is capable of doing, because once they traded for Aaron Gordon, shortly thereafter Jamal Murray got hurt, and so that just that derailed everything for that season. It derailed everything for this season, and so you know, I would say that they would at least give these guys, this crew, a couple of years of run to see what that actually looks like. And so if they don't get to the Western Conference Finals this year, that's going to be a disappointing season, I think, for sure, because given their expectation level. But I don't think it would be a situation where it's now it's time to start making wholesale changes. I guess we'd have to see how the season, what that looked like, how the season went down. But just off the top of my head, trying to look very far into the future, I don't see why that would have to result in big changes, because you have a bunch of core players that you believe so strongly in and have performed for you here in the past. So, I mean, you might tinker with, I just think you tinker with some support players around that crew, and that's about all you can do. Because the other thing is that when healthy, these Nuggets have proven they can win a whole lot of games. They can beat a lot of really good teams. So I think we just want to see it. You know, Brady, we just haven't seen it. And I know I was talking to somebody about this the other day. It's just the Nuggets at the end of the season, there was a lot of, and trade deadline kind of to the end when they were eliminated, there was a lot of, well, they could have done more at the trade deadline. They need to do more around Nikola Jokic, blah, 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 blah. And I get all that talk, except for we have literally no idea what this act team can actually do, because we haven't seen it for more than like 7 games in a fully intact. And so because we don't actually have that full knowledge base, it's hard to go and it's hard to now take the next step and say what the changes might be. I mean, this might be a championship team. We don't know that yet. We know they have good players. They haven't played more than a week together or 2 weeks together. And we hope to get a full season and a full playoff run out of them.
Well, that's the thing. There's still so many strange variables up in the air, Chris, where it's like you haven't seen this group. I mean, it sounds like we've been saying this for a while, but you haven't seen this group really work out. It just hasn't been there because of the injuries. Jamal was injured a while ago, and then Porter essentially at the beginning of the season. So you really do got to give this time to breathe. And if Klay Thompson is any indication of how the recovery process is going to look for Jamal, then even next season might, you know, you expect playoffs, but to see them go to that next step is still, I think that's still kind of lofty as far as thinking, okay, it is championship or bust.
Right. I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I hope that Nuggets fans are looking at Klay Thompson as a case study here. Now, look, he had 2 very devastating injuries, and Jamal just had 1. But the point here is this, is that when you come back in your first season, you were just not the same player. He's having an okay NBA Finals, but next year I bet you we see the Klay Thompson that we are normally we're used to seeing just lighting the world on fire every single night. But he needed this. He didn't play half of the season, you know. So we forget he missed a whole lot of time this season before he even started playing, and now he still is just not in the every game type of rhythm where you know he's about to give you 25, he's about to make 3, 4, 5 3-pointers, and he's going to go out and defend the best player on the perimeter for you. Like, he's not that player right now, but he may very well be next year. It's his first year coming back after those injuries, and that's why we have to cut Jamal Murray a lot of slack and latitude, because the way he's going to come back, I mean, this man will not have played a game in like 18 months, something like that, by the time he gets back onto the court. And that is a very long time to not play a game. And then our lasting memories of him, he was having the best season of his career at the time that he got injured. Our memories of him are of eviscerating DJ Wilson on the fake offensive foul call, of scoring a bunch of points, making a bunch of 3-pointers. He's not going to walk right in back in and be that guy. He'll get to be that guy, but it might not be the entire season. And we have to be ready for that. And you're right, if that would definitely impact what the Nuggets are able to do in the playoffs. How far are they able to go? And that's why when you go bust, I'm like, I don't know what that would look like, because I don't know that we're going to get the full primetime Jamal Murray just quite yet. That'll be in the future, maybe not for a couple of seasons. So it's hard to hang a huge amount of expectations on this team when you have players coming back from significant injuries. I think in the case of Michael Porter Jr., he'll be more able to kind of get things going really quickly, because he went through training camp and he did play a few games last year. It's not as if he didn't play basketball for you know, the better part of two years. And so he probably would be in position to be able to hit the ground running a little more. But for Jamal, we're going to have all of our – we're going to have to survive a few, you know, whoa, he was like 4 for 18 and – it doesn't look quite. Yeah, we're gonna have to survive some of those nights, and he's gonna have to survive through some of those nights, knowing that there's better stuff on the other side. So, you're exactly right about that in terms of the comparison there with Klay Thompson, and how he's performing and how he's performed over the course of. I think he started playing in January, February. So, you know, what, March, April, May, June. So we're 4 months into him playing, and he's still inconsistent. So. It's definitely a process.
Great stuff from you as always, Chris. Breaking my heart with the Roddy stuff. I always hope you're right, but I hope you're really wrong about this, Chris.
I hope I'm wrong too.
All right, my man. Appreciate you as always, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Okay, man. We'll talk to you.
Chris Dempsey, Altitude TV. All right, we got to take a quick break here. That was fantastic. Not the news I wanted to hear. I don't know, though. I'm still holding out hope. I like Holyoke's text. Some of your texts are coming in. I'll get to those in just a moment. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. There was Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Not giving me the news I wanted, though. With the news breaking earlier that the Nuggets were trading Jamichael Green and some picks and protected picks and all that for pick number 30, I thought, oh boy, Roddy must have absolutely blew them away last week with his workouts. That must be what it was. So they made a move. I mean, it just made sense, right? But Dempsey's telling us that maybe in a roundabout way, did it not sound like Dempsey was saying that Roddy's maybe too ready right now? He's too good at this stage for where the Nuggets would go with any kind of draft pick, which is interesting. Because Chris has said this for 3 weeks now. He said, hey, the Nuggets are the draft pick for the Nuggets now is really about more of a project. It's not going to be a guy that's going to come in and make an impact. Bones Highland was kind of a rarity for where they were, but it's probably not going to be one of those guys. But Adrian Wojnarowski tweeting out earlier that the Nuggets set to trade forward Jamichael Green and a protected 2027 first-round pick to the Oklahoma City Thunder for the 30th pick in this month's draft. Also, two future second-round picks. Now, again, he's making it sound more or less like Roddy's doesn't really fit. That the minutes wouldn't make sense because Dempsey maybe thinks that Roddy's going to get more minutes on a team. Denver, it just wouldn't fit right now. And maybe that's the case. Listen, I've been trying to think how Roddy would work. Holyoke texting in says, I disagree with Demps. So what did Jamichael do better than Roddy, albeit two different levels of play? If Green fit, Roddy fits, if not better for competitiveness. It's not always about skill, but a matter of will and mindset in some cases. Make Roddy a Nugget. Well, and I get what you're saying. But it's not like a lot of these rookies, especially if you're picking late first, early second. They don't just jump right in. Typically, they don't just jump right in and get meaningful minutes. Bones Highland was an earlier first-round pick. What? Where was he? In the 20s? No, maybe later. I think he was 27. But it was all circumstance. All the injuries that piled up led him to a spot where he could put together more minutes. And when he did a lot with his minutes when he was there, if he would have sucked in those initial minutes and those initial showings, he wouldn't have got more time. But he ended up getting more time. So a lot of big questions surrounding, you know, what would happen with Roddy, where would he fit? But I tend to agree, like, if I'm the Nuggets, go for it. But if you're Roddy's camp, do you want Denver drafting him for all the reasons that Dempsey just outlined? First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Mysterio texting in, at what point in time do the Monforts get tired of being a laughing stock of professional sports in Colorado? The Avalanche are winning championships. The Broncos are competitive and won championships. The Nuggets always find a way to go deep into the playoffs and compete for a championship. When they are going to possibly start to get... When are they going to possibly start to get competitive to not be the redheaded stepchild of Colorado? Mindset, I guess. You've never heard Dick Monfort say championship or bust. I'm not saying Josh Kroenke's wise to do that right now. But he said it. I believe John Elway's always talked about winning. Plan A, plan A. And when he was there, George Payton saying the same thing. Russell Wilson says, I'm going to bring championships to Denver. I believe with the Avs, they have been saying 16 wins. Anything other than that is unacceptable. Have you ever heard any talk like that from Dick Monfort? I know baseball is a completely different sport. It's a completely different animal. Markets are different, but if you don't say it at the beginning, you're never going to believe it. Monfort's been on record saying things like, I don't know that Colorado deserves a baseball team. To expect to make the playoffs 2 out of 5 seasons or 3 out of 5 seasons is a lot. Those are our expectations. Your expectations are to make it 4 times every 10 years? I mean, that again, that the mindset is different with Dick Monfort. We lose a key player, oh, we're still a good baseball team. We lose another key player the very next year, oh, we're still a good baseball team. You don't see this with the Broncos, Avalanche, or Nuggets. Not for the last several years. You see good players get better, or good players come in. And the Rockies, listen, it's weird off the heels of what happened over the weekend. And I do think the Rockies are doing their best right now to salvage the month of June to prevent the June swoon. They did beat the Giants in a series on the road. They did split with the Padres. But overall, yeah, I mean, they've been to the playoffs 5 years. 5 years of playoffs. I think the Avs have missed the playoffs 5 years. It's a mindset. Again, there's a lot more that goes into it, but until you look at your baseball team as something more than a business, because, it is a business, but it's still sports. It's still competitive. Until you change the mindset of, it doesn't matter that we're drawing a gigantic crowd. We have to start winning. We have to find a way to do that. How do we do it? Well, Chris Bryant, we brought him in. Yeah, but he had injury history that now it's looking like you guys knew about. So you spent a lot of money on a big name that maybe you shouldn't have. 40 minutes after the hour, way overdue for this one. We got to jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Minutes after the hour, welcome back into The Whole Show. Man, we have breezed through this show today. Shout out to Isaiah Stevens for joining me from Colorado State. Sensational young man. If anyone's up to the challenge of playing with a rodderless Rams team next year, it's got to be Isaiah Stevens. Expecting big things from him next year. Really big things. But again, I'm not an idiot. I know some of you might disagree. I'm not putting money on them going back to March Madness. I think they'll be a good team. If they do this, then hell yeah. That's amazing. Bye-bye Medved, because if he can pull this out after losing Roddy, it's not a knock on Isaiah or any of those players, but Roddy might go in the first round, folks. I really hope Chris is wrong. I really hope he's wrong. But, I mean, what he says makes sense. If you missed any of that, if you miss any of what Chris Dempsey or Isaiah Stevens had to say today, check out thewholeshow.com or 1310kfk.com. Download our podcast. You can subscribe to all of my podcasts on Spotify and the iTunes, all of that. Or just go to our website regularly and grab it. You'll get our podcast nonstop. So we want to stay with the show, even if you can't listen every single day, 12 to 2. Shout out to On the Rocks Liquor, John and Tony, an amazing couple over there. Tony's so supportive of what we do here and has been for a while. She's just a wonderful person. On the Rocks Liquor, that's one of those family-owned and operated businesses. They do our game beer of the week. This one's from Angry Orchard Hard Ciders, Peach Mango. Pick up selections from Angry Orchard or any of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive-thru or come inside. They're open until 9 a.m. or open 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. every day. A few new hours for just for the time being. They also got the great tasting going on this Friday from 4 to 7. The good folks from Classic Beverages will be on hand for some wine tastings. That's on the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. 49 minutes after the hour. What's on tonight? We'll get to it on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to my man, Brady Hall, and The Hall Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Hall Show, powered by PDC Energy. Thanks to Levin's Heating and Cooling. They're hiring. I want to let you know they're hiring. So if you're working in that field, the HVAC system, the heating and cooling world, and you're looking for great people. Jerry Lemons, great guy. Like I said, I play flag football with the dude, so I trust the guy. He was a great guy to play with, hang out with, awesome dude. And you see their trucks all over the place. That's Lemons Heating and Cooling, 970-567-0798. If your air conditioner is spotty right now, needs some work, I suggest giving them a call, 970-567-0798. Also want to thank Weldworks. They got their new Friday beer releases coming out every single Friday. And then you got to check out the Annex. Absolutely delicious food. And the double cheeseburger there it'll make you sing. Trust me. Weldworks in downtown Greeley. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. What's on tonight? No Rockies. Rockies get a little bit of a break after a split with the Padres and a series win over the Giants. A successful road trip. Are the Rockies pulling themselves out of this thing? We'll see. Big week coming up for them. I think I'm heading down there on Thursday, so should be fun. Tonight, though, we've got Game 5. My goodness. Series is tied at 2 games apiece between Boston and Golden State. In Golden State tonight, 7 o'clock on ABC. The Warriors, the last I checked, are 4-point favorites at home. Oof, very tempted to not only take... I'm taking Golden State to win. I think they win at home. I think they win this thing in 7. Wouldn't be shocked if Boston is just a nutty atmosphere for Game 6. But I like Golden State in 7 at least. So I like the Warriors winning tonight, and they take that lead. Do they cover? If Curry is special, like he always is, but if he's extra special, like he was the other night, then yes, they do. So I'm going to say I like Golden State to win this game. I think they cover tonight. I think they win by more than 4 points. Boston's ridiculous, though. Boston's a great basketball team. It's just when Golden State can slow down and get everything clicking, all of their weapons firing. I don't see how teams can really beat them without that firing power. Now, again, Boston has proven to be not only the best defensive team in the NBA, but they're really good on the offensive side, no question. So I like this game tonight. Should be a lot of fun. I'm taking Golden State. I'm taking Golden State to cover 4 as well. That's going to do it for us. We got Betting Across America coming up next. And no Rockies tonight, but we'll get back on the Rockies coverage tomorrow for you. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.